Proverbs 2 and 3 this morning. We continue our series in Wisdom's Book. We turn our hearts and our ears to what God and what God's wisdom would say to us. Before we do that, let me once again share with you man's wisdom. This proverb attributed to the Chinese: if you are patient in one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you're patient in one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. For those of us with anger issues, that's a good word. Proverbs is actually going to have a lot to say about anger and how we're to properly deal with anger and anger situations. But I think the Chinese did pretty good with that one as well. This is an Indian proverb. To be sure of hitting the target, shoot first and call whatever you hit the target. I like that. That sounds good. It doesn't matter where and what you hit as long as you claim to have hit what you were aiming for. I'm going to remember that, Marshall, the next time we're at the range shooting the guns. That's what I was aiming for. Yes, that spot way off the target. That's exactly what I was aiming for. And I'll be the best shooter out there as long as I can remember the Indian proverb. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. I know it's a lot to read, and we're taught in preaching class, whatever that class is, don't read a bunch of verses. But I want us to, as we work our way through Proverbs, I know you read it in December. By the time we're done, we're going to have read it all together. And so I know it's a bit. I trust you'll follow along and read it as best we can. I want to read to you this morning Proverbs chapter 2 and 3. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. For the Lord detests a perverse man but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. Let me just draw your attention to a few things from chapter 2 and chapter 3 this morning. Again, things that sort of caught my attention. Things that did the same to many of you as, again, reading through your sheets that we handed out through the month of December in your reading. These are some of the things that you noticed as well. Proverbs 2 and verses 1 really through all the way through to 5. Proverbs is in many ways a father's instruction to his son and to his children. We see that in verse 1. My son, if you accept my words, store up my commands. We see it as well into chapter 3. My son, don't forget the things that I've taught you. In our Christianity, I think we do well to consider it our Heavenly Father's instruction to we, his children, his sons, and his daughters. And the Father's instruction to us from Proverbs 2 and verse 1, accept his words. Store up his commands. That's the way to wisdom. God's words. Accepting God's word, living out God's word in our lives, listening to the word, hearing the word, doing the word, studying the word. One has said, only by putting God's word into our minds will we learn to live wisely and righteously. I came across this story this last week in preparing for the message. On January 1st, 2008, Keith and his 7-year-old son Adrian agreed that they would spend at least 15 minutes every day that year searching together for treasure. According to the article written at the time, they would go out each day in every kind of weather to see what they could find. A year later, their collection of coins, golf balls, recyclable bottles and cans, and various other items had yielded more than $1,000. In the process, they enjoyed many hours of companionship and fun. The article then goes to ask this question: if we decided to spend 15 minutes every day searching for treasure in the Bible, what would we find? According to Proverbs chapter 2, we would understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God. That's verse 5. We would understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. That's verse 9. We would find the good life if we did that. I notice as well here in these verses the sort of pursuit of wisdom. And I would say maybe in fact the key thing in this morning's message, the thing that I'm going to bring us back to when we conclude in a few minutes and ask you questions related to your pursuit of wisdom, the importance of wisdom, the necessity of making wisdom a priority in order to attain it. Wisdom doesn't just come naturally to us. I want to be careful how I say this, but maybe even we could say it this way as well. Wisdom doesn't come easily to us. We have to go get it. We have to hunt for it. We have to chase it down. According to these verses, we have to turn our ear to hear it, and we have to apply our heart. We considered last Sunday, we have to ask for wisdom, but we also have to accept wisdom. We have to live in it. We have to say yes to it. We have to submit ourselves to wisdom and to wisdom's way. We have to call out for insight and for understanding. We have to be diligent and persistent in our pursuit of wisdom. And in asking God, calling out would make us to think of prayer. We have to be persistent. We have to be diligent in the calling out, in the praying, in the asking of God for wisdom. I was reminded of Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. It's sort of missed in the language here, but really the language is ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus gets ready to tell a story, and he begins the story this way. Jesus told his disciple a parable that showed them they should always pray and never give up. We can't give up in our pursuit of wisdom. We have to ask and keep asking for it. We have to seek and keep seeking after it. Wisdom is not just Proverbs, is not just a few Sundays series thing. Now we're done and we move on to something else, and our pursuit of wisdom becomes a pursuit of something else. No, this attaining of wisdom is a lifelong pursuit. We call aloud for insight and understanding, and diligence in prayer, a persistence in prayer. At some point, we will end our study of Proverbs, but may your prayer for wisdom never end. Look for it, search for it, chase after it, even as for silver, as you would for a hidden treasure. One says this, you must be prepared to sacrifice all. He who seeks diamonds or pearls or gold will leave his native land and what other men hold dear and center his whole attention on his quest. Not otherwise must it be with those who would understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. They must be willing to count all things but loss, to sell all they have in order to buy the field with its treasure trove. Another says this, do we value wisdom? Do we seek it as diligently as if it were gold? If so, we will be rewarded with life's greatest treasure, the knowledge of God. The message reads this way, Proverbs chapter 2, good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the word of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt, believe me, before you know it, fear of God will be yours. You'll have come upon the knowledge of God. I like that. Don't take no for an answer. We're to look for wisdom. We're to search, cry aloud, turn our ear to it, store it up, apply our hearts to it. One says this, wisdom is not usually discovered by the casual observer. Wisdom is discovered and enjoyed only by those who are diligent, devoted, and determined to seek it. Let us then do that. Let us devote our whole being to the searching for that rare jewel of wisdom. The following story is told of Socrates, a proud young man who came to him asking for knowledge, walked up to the philosopher. Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge. I like the way this reads. Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one. He led the young man through the streets to the sea and chest deep into water. Then he asked, what do you want? Knowledge, O wise Socrates, said the young man with a smile. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him under. 30 seconds later, Socrates let him up. "What do you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the young man sputtered. "Oh, great and wise Socrates." Socrates crunched him under again. 30 seconds passed. 35, 40. Socrates let him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy, heavy breathing, the fellow is knowledge, oh wise and wonderful. Socrates jammed him under again. 40 seconds passed. 50. "What do you want?" "Air," screamed the young man. "I need air." To which Socrates replied, "When you want wisdom and knowledge as much as you have just wanted air, then you will have wisdom and knowledge." Wisdom, we value it, we pursue it as if it were the greatest of treasures, for that, in fact, is exactly what it is. Verse 6 catches my attention. This, the Lord gives wisdom. It's the source of wisdom. It's the Lord. Where does wisdom come from? Where does knowledge come from? Where does understanding come from? It comes from the Lord. And as I read that, I sort of consider it from two perspectives. The first, the Lord's the one who gives wisdom. So in seeking for wisdom, what really do? We seek the Lord. You may wonder, wisdom, how do I chase after that? I hear you, Pastor. Make wisdom your pursuit. Cherish it. Count it as gold, silver. How do I do that? What does that look like in my life? How do I seek after wisdom like that? You seek after the Lord like that. Set him as the treasure of your heart, the pearl of great price that is worth selling all to have. Seek the Lord, and in turn, you'll seek after wisdom. Find the Lord, and you will, in fact, find wisdom. The second is this. I read it as a sort of statement of fact. The Lord gives wisdom. It's the result of verses 1 through 5, the search for wisdom. Listen, you look for it, you cry aloud for it, you turn your ear toward it, and God will give it. God will give wisdom to you. You pursue wisdom in line with verses 1 through 5, and you'll encounter verse 6, the assurance, the confidence you can have. You will obtain the wisdom that you seek because the Lord gives it. The Message says it this way in verse 6. Here's why you'll get the wisdom, you'll get the knowledge of God, you'll get the understanding. Here's why God gives out wisdom free. We've considered it a number of weeks what James says, that God gives wisdom in abundance. The rest of chapter 2, even on into chapter 3, what we discover, wisdom is worth the pursuit. You seek it, even as silver is a hidden treasure. God gives it. God will give it to you. And to your life will come a pleasure, a sweetness that only wisdom can bring. Verse 5, you'll understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And your life in turn, because it's lived in that fear of God, will be guarded from evil along life's path. You'll be saved from the tragedies of sin. Verse 9, you'll understand what's right. You'll understand what's just and fair. Verse 9, you'll know the life lived on the good path. You'll know the good life. Verse 11, wisdom will grant you discretion and understanding, and discretion and understanding will in turn protect you and guard you. Verse 12, wisdom will save you from wicked men who walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, rejoice in evil, whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. The Message says this, so now you can pick out what's true and fair, find all the good trails. Lady Wisdom will be your close friend, and Brother Knowledge your pleasant companion. Good Sense will scout ahead for danger. Insight will keep an eye out for you. They'll keep you from making wrong turns or following the bad directions. Of those who are lost themselves and can't tell a trail from a tumbleweed. These losers who make a game of evil and throw parties to celebrate perversity, traveling paths that go nowhere, wandering in a maze of detours and dead ends. Wisdom will keep you off the path that is nothing more than a maze of detours and dead ends. Wisdom will keep you on the good path and lead you to the good life. Verse 16, wisdom will save you from the adulteress. This is what we read from the Message, verse 18. Her whole way of life is doomed. Every step she takes brings her closer to hell. No one who joins her company ever comes back, ever sets foot on the path of real living. It's more than just adultery that sets you on the doomed path. The path that brings you with every step a little bit closer to hell. The path that exempts you from real living. Wisdom will protect you from the adultery and from everything else that would do that to you. Chapter 3 and verse 2, wisdom's instruction will prolong your life, bring you prosperity. The Living Bible says this, "My son, never forget the things I've taught you. If you want a long and satisfying life, closely follow my instructions." Wisdom and wisdom decisions, that's the way to the good life, the satisfying life. In verse 16, the Living Bible again, wisdom gives a long, good life, riches, honor, pleasure, peace. Verse 13 and 14, you'll be blessed more so than the one who finds silver, gold, precious rubies. You'll be blessed with what is incomparable in value. With wisdom, you'll be blessed with that that is more profitable, that is more beneficial, that is better for you than even the very best of earth's most profitable riches. Oh, that we would pursue wisdom like we pursue a good retirement. Oh, that we would pursue wisdom like we pursue a good paycheck. Oh, that we would pursue wisdom like we pursue winning that lottery. Oh, that we would pursue wisdom like we pursue getting that good car in our garage, that little bit extra square footage in our house. Oh, that we would pursue wisdom, the most valuable of all things, like we pursue the less valuable things. Verse 23, you'll live in safety. Your foot will not stumble. Verse 24, when you lie down, you won't be afraid. Your sleep will be sweet. You'll fear no sudden disaster, the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being snared. That's 25 and 26. Back to verse 20 in chapter 2, in the end, wisdom will keep you in the ways of good men and on the paths of righteousness. Wisdom is worth the pursuit. I read this story this past week, a man walking out in the desert. A voice said to him, "Pick up some pebbles and put them in your pocket. And tomorrow you will be both sorry and glad." The man obeyed. He stooped down and picked up a handful of pebbles and put them in his pocket. The next morning, he reached into his pocket and found diamonds and rubies and emeralds. And he was both glad and sorry. Glad that he had taken some, sorry that he hadn't taken more. And so it is with wisdom. We seek it and keep seeking it so that we might have it and have more of it, so that ours might be the good life, even the better and better life, the life filled with these blessings that make wisdom so worth the pursuit. Verse 3 of chapter 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Then you'll win favor, good name in the sight of God and man. Let me encourage you this morning. May your life, may mine as well, may the character of this church be defined by love and faithfulness. May these two never leave us. Remember the words of Jesus when asked to identify the greatest of all commandments, his words in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The result of love and faithfulness shown always forever to God, and love and faithfulness shown always forever to others will win God's favor. You see it in verse 4. And will win man's favor. Will have a good name. Will be held in high esteem with God. And will be held in high esteem with man. A very familiar portion of scripture. For many, it might in fact be our favorite. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let me read it to you from the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. As I read that, I'm reminded, wow, how much time we waste trying to figure everything out. I want to free you from the burden this morning of having to figure everything out. I want to challenge you this morning, admonish you, that's a wasted burden and that's a wasted goal. You'll never attain to it. You'll never accomplish that. Your mission is not to figure everything out. Oh, but Pastor, I have to. I have to solve the marriage. I have to figure out the finances. I have to solve the work problem. I've got to figure it out. I've got to understand. I've got to make it work. I've got to make it happen. According to God's word, no, you don't. You don't have to figure it all out. For some of you this morning, that ought to be a burden that falls off of you and sets you free. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to understand it all. No, no, you don't. Proverbs 3, 5, all you have to do is what? Trust in the Lord. I believe it's the sort of craziness of our human pride. Many times we struggle with the reality, the fact, the truth, that God knows what is best for us. Come on, you like me have argued that. No. We think we know what's better for us than even God does. We assume our way is right. We think we can bring ourselves to a better outcome than God can. According to Proverbs 3, the contrast that would be inferred in verses 5 and 6, whoever thinks like that is a fool. Remember how we talked about it last week? Proverbs is going to be a book of contrast. This is what the wisdom do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is what the wisdom do. Trust in the Lord with all their heart. Lean not on their own understanding. In all their ways acknowledge Him, and He directs their path. That's the way of wisdom. It's the foolish way. How many of us this morning are feeling a little foolish? No, God, I know what's better for me. No, God, I'm not going to do that. I know your word says I should. I know your word says I need to. I know your word commands me to. But that's not what's best for me. That's not who I am. That's not how I was made. That's not how I grew up. That's not what I was taught. That's not my tradition. I'm going to go, God, my own way. It's better for me. It will lead to a better outcome. The fool says that. Can I take you back to last week? When you talk like that, you talk like a moron. There's a story that I read, author that was in a hotel downtown Chicago, the 25th floor, looking out the window, mesmerized by the movement of traffic everywhere. You can imagine the big city of Chicago. He tells the story this way. One motorist faced an emergency. He had engine trouble, was stalled in the middle of the traffic. From my vantage point, I could see for blocks. I watched several drivers switch into the same lane as the stalled auto, unaware of what was ahead. thinking they were gaining time. These motorists were actually crossing over into a lane that would only spell greater delay. As we travel along life's road, we do much the same as those misguided drivers. With our limited foresight, we select the route that seems best, only to find that the temporary advance has led us into a course filled with delay and heartache. But how reassuring that we can look to one who is above everything, who knows the end from the beginning, who sees it all. We can trust him and he will direct us. The author concludes, when the Lord indicates a stop or a change of lanes or a wait, we should gladly obey. Trust in the Lord. Wisdom recognizes that God knows best in all things, in every circumstance. Listen, can I give you this morning? If you're trusting in the Lord, you don't need to worry about what's happening to you. You lost the job, but you're trusting in the Lord. Listen to me, my brother, my sister. You are in the perfect place. You'll be well taken care of because your God is a trustworthy God. Things have been turned upside down, rattled in your life, things that you didn't see coming. Listen to me. If you're trusting the Lord, you're in the perfect place. I guess we would have to consider the alternative. Listen, if you're not trusting the Lord, you're in a world of hurt. Because what are you going to do about that? You just lost your job. Your life's been turned upside down. How are you going to figure that out? How are you going to fix that? How are you going to solve that? All of us recognize, I can't. That's the problem. Well, the problem is not that you can. The problem is that you're not trusting the one who can. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. And listen, again, this is the thing that should set us free this morning. When we do that, really in effect, very little else matters. What the boss has said, what the doctor has said, but I'm trusting in the Lord. And he's directing my path. He's leading me. Trust him. Acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. He'll keep you on track. In the words of the great hymn, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Verse 7, once more the reminder, wisdom begins in the fear of the Lord, and the result, evil is shunned. Health comes to the body, nourishment to our souls. Verse 9, wisdom's word on giving. I want to challenge you with a thought this morning. I'm grateful for a gracious church. I'm grateful for a generous church. I'm grateful for a church that believes in the tithe and obedience to it. The reality is, in Christianity, many want to argue with the tithe, the giving to the Lord. We don't have to do that anymore, they would claim, because that's an Old Testament thing and we live in the New Testament. They claim the tithe is a law thing and we're not under the law anymore. Do you understand this morning what Proverbs, what wisdom reveals to us? The tithe, the honoring of the Lord with your wealth, your first fruits giving, that's your giving to him before anything else. That's giving to him before you spend it all on you and are left claiming you have nothing to give. You understand this morning? It's not just an Old Testament thing. It's not just a law command. That's wisdom's instruction. Proverbs is wisdom talk. Listen then, not to what Moses says, not to what the Old Testament says, not to what the law says. Listen this morning to what wisdom says. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. If you want to live in wisdom, you honor God. You worship God even with your giving. And can I say it the other way too? If you want to be foolish, if you want to live foolishly, I'm going to say it once more. If you want to be a moron, don't give. Don't honor the Lord with your income, with your possessions. Keep it all for you. Have more stuff. Have better stuff. Live like that. Don't give. Don't honor the Lord You don't have to give if you don't want to. You can live life like that. You just need to understand you do, and you'll miss God's blessing. And you'll live the fool's life rather than the wisdom one. We honor God with what we have, and there's blessing in that. Verse 11, the Lord's discipline caught my eye, caught many of yours as well. One author says this: at times, God allows us to pass through trials and difficulties in order to conform us more perfectly to His holiness and to His will for our lives. As a father with his son, as a father with his daughter, brings discipline, brings correction. So God, our Father, brings discipline and correction to our lives. Discipline is tough, but we don't despise it, because it's what God does, it's what our Father does to those He loves. Don't get hung up in verse 11. Don't get hung up with the discipline word such that it causes you to miss the love word. It's what God does to conform us, to shape us, to mold us into the image of His Son Jesus, because He loves us. Discipline is tough. God begins to bring correction in your life, it's tough. But where you're inclined to give up, or you're inclined to throw in the towel, where you're inclined to get mad at God, I don't understand why God's doing this to me. I don't understand why God's not helping. I don't understand why God's... Don't miss the fact that He does it because He loves you. Let that be the testimony that sustains you through the discipline that God brings you through. Unless you're inclined to think you're exempt from the discipline. Listen, if you're a son or a daughter, and your father was Adam, that's all of us, then you need discipline and correction. Our sin nature, our faults, our failures, our pride, our distraction with the things of the world, we need God to come in and correct us. And when He does, there ought to be the reminder, oh, but He loves me. This the reason. I think it's going to be my answer. Pastor, I don't understand. Pastor, I don't know why. Maybe God's disciplining you because He loves you. Pastor, why this? Why the difficulty? Why the struggle? Because He loves you. Because He's working in your life to shape and to mold you. Scientists tell us there are seeds, certain types of desert bushes, that have to be damaged by a storm before they'll germinate and grow. They're covered by hard shells that keep out the water. And these seeds can lie dormant on the sand for several seasons until conditions are ripe for growth. When heavy rains finally bring flash floods, the little seeds are banged against sand and gravel and rocks as they rush down the slopes. Eventually, they settle into a depression where the soil is dammed several feet deep, able to absorb water now through the nicks and scratches they acquired on their downhill plunge. They finally begin to grow. This little devotional concludes, sometimes God lets His children experience some nicks and scratches so that the water of His word can seep in and soften their hearts. Proverbs 3:27, the instruction of wisdom, where we'll finish this morning, how wisdom lives. The Message puts it this way: never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. That's wisdom talk. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Verse 28. Don't tell your neighbor, maybe some other time, or try me tomorrow, when the money's right there in your pocket. Don't figure out ways of taking advantage of your neighbor when he's sitting there trusting and unsuspecting. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder, always spoiling for a fight. That's the fool's way. Don't try to be like those who shoulder their way through life, Why be a bully? The bully way is the fool's way. Verse 32. Why not, you say? Because God can't stand twisted souls. It's the straightforward who get his respect. God's curse blights the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He gives proud skeptics a cold shoulder, but if you're down on your luck, he's right there to help. Wise living gets rewarded with honor. Stupid living gets the booby prize. Neglect wisdom, and the booby prize is all yours. Choose wisdom, follow wisdom, adhere to wisdom's command. Verse 32, the Lord will take you into his confidence. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Do you remember when God is on his way to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he stops by to have a visit with Abraham, and all of a sudden there's this moment of recognition, hey, Abraham is my friend. Why am I keeping from him what I'm about to do? Why am I not telling Abraham? He's my friend. This is what friends do. We tell each other what's going on. I think the picture we get in Proverbs 3 and verse 33, 32, the Lord will begin to do that with you. Hey, Marshall's my friend. Why am I not telling Marshall what's going on? Why am I not telling Tampitha what's going on? She's my friend. I'm going to reveal to her what I'm doing, how I'm working. I'm going to bring them into my confidence. Verse 33, he'll put his blessing. You can see it. Look at it. Verse 33, he'll put his blessing where? On your house. You want your kids to be blessed? Live in wisdom. Be a wise dad. Be a wise mom. Let your marriage be defined and exist in the constraints of wisdom. You want your grandkids to be blessed? Live in wisdom. Talk wisdom talk. Instruct wisdom instruction. You see it as well as I. Verse 33, you do that. You'll be blessed, but more than you being blessed, God will put his blessing on your house. Verse 34, he'll give you his grace. That's his favor. Really, what we read in Scripture, it's favor on top of favor. It's favor with a little bit of more flavor on the side. Verse 35, and he'll grant to you a life of honor. As this morning, once more, we conclude. Two of our questions the same. Our prayer the same. Let me ask you, let me lead you to that prayer. The first question I ask you, what do you see in Proverbs 2 and 3? What catches your attention? What verses caught your eye? Verse 2, or question 2, from your perspective then, maybe from ours together this morning, what's the Spirit speaking to you? What's he asking you to do? We have made the sanctuary to be a classroom. That's sort of how we defined our study on Proverbs. We're going to read it together, study it together. But whether it's sanctuary or classroom, how we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's word, bring it to life within us, and speak the truth of it to our hearts, to our minds, to our very soul. So this morning, what's the Spirit speaking to you? What's the Spirit saying to you? What is he asking you to do? Do you need to trust the Lord more? Lean not on your own understanding. Do you need to honor the Lord more? Have you withheld good from those who deserve it? Have you withheld good from your neighbor? Do you need to do more good to more people? Maybe it's encouragement that the Spirit speaks to you. His response to your pursuit of wisdom, the reminder, the blessing, the honor, the favor, the protection that's going to be yours. Maybe it's the Spirit speaking to your heart. Hey, I see you. I see you chasing after wisdom. I see you pursuing wisdom with all your heart. I'm going to respond. I'm going to do according to my word. I'm going to work in your life wisdom's way and wisdom's blessing. Maybe in and under his discipline today, you hear the Spirit reminding you, you are there because he loves you. I won't ask you if it's you or ask you to indicate that it is you. But if you sense that you're under God's discipline this morning, I don't know if there's a better message for you to hear than that you're there because he loves you. You should be afraid that you're not there. If he disciplines those he loves, the contrast, the alternative, I know it sounds weird for us to say it, but he leaves alone those he doesn't love. Do you understand? Children of God, he loves you, disciplines you. As his child, may our ears be open to the word of the Spirit. Question number three is our new one for today. Verse 4, wisdom. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Chapter 3 and verse 13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. She's more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. My third question for you, how's your pursuit of wisdom? How do you evaluate wisdom this morning? Do you chase after her as you would silver or some hidden treasure? Do you value her as something more profitable than silver, better than gold, more precious than rubies? Do you value her above any and everything else? Truly, nothing can compare to her. If you do, wisdom will be yours. God will give you wisdom. God will freely and abundantly give you wisdom. If you don't, wisdom might be as elusive to you as the silver and gold and rubies and hidden treasure. How can you today make wisdom more and better a priority to your life? Maybe like I have, like we as a family have. Maybe you've made wisdom to be a part of your daily prayer. Here's my follow-up question. Here's me pushing you a little bit more. What can you do next? What can you do more than just adding it to your daily prayer to make it your great pursuit in life? And then finally, my simple encouragement, once more, every Sunday, I'm going to ask you to join me in asking God to give us wisdom. Ask him, God, that you help us to chase after you so that we get you and in turn we get wisdom. Because when we chase after God, we chase after wisdom. When we chase after wisdom, we chase after God. God will give it. Your life will be forever helped, forever changed, and blessed because of it. God, we make it then our prayer this morning. Give us wisdom.